When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming into the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about the Buddha Brat fractal. What? You must be saying, what the heck is that? Yes, I said it correctly, the Buddha Brat fractal. And what is that about? Well, the Buddha Brat fractal is a mathematical image hidden within the Mandelbrot set, and it may be considered the ordering principle of the mind. It's the first archetypal form to emerge from the mathematical void, an image that links psyche with cosmos. My special guest today is Dr. Harry Shirley. He's a Jungian psychologist, and he's done so much work kind of doing a deep dive on this symbol that was originally, they're finding out now, that it was originally seen from artwork like 3,000 years ago, but only brought to the surface, if you will, in 1993. And he's trying to find out what this actually means. So let me give you a little bit of a background here. The fractal presents a revelatory argument that the fractal geometry, which is sacred geometry of the Buddha Brat, a little-known mathematical visualization of the Mandelbrot set, provides a physical map of the psyche and cosmos. By uniting Jungian depth psychology and fractal mathematics, Dr. Harry Shirley reveals how this fractal not only echoes ancient symbolic patterns, but also offers a visual expression of the self, as Jung described it, a unifying totality that governs our psychedelic lives, if you will. Like, wow, that's a lot. So it's a symbol that's been around, that's built on sacred geometry that it's, as Dr. Shirley has discovered, has been seen in artwork and images and sculptures and things like that going back like 3,000 years, yet it's been a mystery as to what it all means. And if you are familiar with sacred geometry, there's a lot to it that comes to the surface when you see and kind of dig into the Buddha Brat fractal. So that's a lot. I know for a lot of people, fractal mathematics is not something they talk about every day when they're watching SportsCenter, but it's a unique lens, and it really, there's an alignment between the Buddha Brat's archetypal images, and it's found across cultures and time, and we're really trying to figure out, is there a synchronicity in the symbolism, or are the fractals something we look at in isolation? But Dr. Shirley's work integrates everything into a unified field theory of reality, bridging number, psychology, and spirituality. Well, that's a lot, and you probably haven't heard of this before. If you have, you're probably highly interested, and if you're not, I ask you to be patient and really get into it with us, because we're going to go on a deep dive, a guy's guide. Special show today. We're going to go a little bit deeper than we usually do on a new topic that's new to me also, but I think you're really going to enjoy it. And our guest, Dr. Harry Shirley, has done the homework, and he's very articulate, so I think we'll really learn a lot. Just be patient with me and be patient with Dr. Shirley, because it's new stuff, but I think it's important.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, guys, radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and today we've got a very special guest coming to us from outside of London, England, Dr. Harry Shirley. He has a PhD in organic chemistry and research experience at the University of Oxford. He works as a consultant now and holds a personal passion for Jungian psychology and the interplay of psyche and matter. And we're going to talk today about the Buderot and also about fractals and kind of how the universe is ordered and how that order can help us live our best lives. So welcome to the show, Dr. Harry Shirley.
Thank you so much, Robert. Well, it's a pleasure to be here today, and I'm really looking forward to our discussion on my work.
Okay, fantastic. So a lot of the work leads up to kind of everything's connected and it's one universe. The term for it is the onus mundi, is that it?
The unus mundus. Unus is mundus. The idea of an underlying connected reality where psyche or mind and matter are one and the same, okay. Where all of the divisions that we see in life no longer exist.
Well, let's take a half step back to lay kind of some type of create some context. So we live in a world that's filled with separatism and polarity. And that's kind of the world we're used to. And the notion that Jung and yourself come up with is that, you know, it's really all about everything as one. And there's a rationale to sacred geometry, to also symbols and numbers and how they work. But with that said, is there a role of polarity, and is separation in our world, is it just made up?
Yeah. So separation, duality, opposites. It's not fair to say that they're made up, but what we can call them is an illusion of the ego. So the ego is the part of our mind that we exist in. It's the I. It's who you think you are. But what lots of psychology tells you is there's a lot more to your brain than your ego. For example, there's the self, which is your entire psyche, not just the ego. And of course, there's the unconscious part of your mind as well. So the ego is just this tiny part of your mind that appears to create these illusions about reality. The ego tells us that mind and matter perhaps are separated or different, when in fact they are more interconnected than we realize in our day-to-day lives.
Okay, so how did you get into the work you're doing, and what is the goal and the objective of what you're doing? Because you have a lot of, you know, it's really interesting to me. You have 3.6 million subscribers on YouTube. What are you doing, and what are these people? Because I didn't know too much about fractals or about Jung, and for my day-to-day life and what I do, I haven't seen the correlation until I went through your videos and got familiar with your work.
Tell
us about all of that. What are you doing? Sure. What's your objective, and why do you think it's been so popular, and you've connected with so many people, and what are they looking for, and why now?
My background is science, but over maybe 3 or 4 years, I've developed a real passion and expert knowledge of Jungian psychology, depth psychology, which is really the exploration, the study of how the unconscious mind works. We know lots about how our conscious mind works, but what's going on under the surface? And of course, during the 21st century, we've explored that lots. That's what Freud and Jung were exploring. But Jung's work wasn't finished. There were still lots of questions in Jung's framework. And one of those questions really is, as I've already said, Jung felt that psyche and matter are actually not separate. They are the same. And one thing that Carl Jung wasn't able to answer is, well, if psyche and matter are the same, how? How are they connected? What does that look like? What does this realm embody? And that's really where my work comes in, because Carl Jung already gave us some clues. He felt that the unus mundus, so this realm where psyche and matter are one and the same, is related somehow to numbers. But even though he thought about it lots and lots and lots, he died in the early 1960s. And it wasn't until the 80s that fractal mathematics was actually discovered. And for some of your audiences who have come across fractals before, these are these amazing mathematical images, a very famous one being the Mandelbrot set, where we see an infinite universe of amazing shapes. My work is exploring how these fractal shapes may actually be deeply connected to not just the connected nature of psyche and matter, but actually these fractal patterns are related to the ordering of the entire psyche. So consciousness perhaps is organized in these fractal-like ways. And as I say, because Jung died before fractal mathematics were well known, he never got the chance to explore this. But if he had been given 40 years extra, I'm convinced that he would have been very interested in fractal maths, as I think it is the way that consciousness is organized, and it dictates the very way that we process thoughts. So that's really what my work is about.
So would that mean, Dr. Shirley, that the numbers, the fractals, were there before the consciousness, that the consciousness emerges from a bedding, if you will, of this of the fractals and the numbers and the sacred geometry and all of that stuff?
That's a really interesting question to consider. What comes first? Numbers, these fractal ordering principles, or consciousness? Now, that's a really hard question to answer, but what I would suggest is that we look to ancient traditions for help in answering that question. I often like to go to Hindu mythology, and they have a concept called Brahman. Brahman is kind of this beginning, but before reality, there is this unified, interconnected, but formless cosmos of pure consciousness. And then from Brahman, we have Shiva, which is related to form, order. So in lots of different traditions, we have this idea that consciousness is always there. It's like consciousness is like gravity, or it's like air. It's just this thing that is there. But numbers perhaps bring a consciousness into order, and that's what we're seeing in fractals. It's the organization of pure consciousness that then dictates the way that humans think about things, how emotions work, and things like that.
Now you've come across something called the Buddha rock. There was something before that called the Mandelbrot. What are these things, and what are the connection to fractals, and why is it important for us to understand how these work?
So the Mandelbrot set is a fractal. It's a certain type of mathematical image, and it's fractals are often self-similar. So you can zoom in lots and lots and lots, and you see the same types of shapes. So the Mandelbrot set is a really important mathematical image. It's derived from a very simple equation. But as I say, surprisingly, even though it's very simple, it creates these amazing, amazing, beautiful images. Things that look like mandalas or look like spiritual art.
With endlessly repeating patterns, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You can quite literally zoom in for infinity. So we've got the Mandelbrot set, which is very well known in mathematics, and we normally visualize it in a certain way. Now, I don't want to go into the mathematics too much, as this, I'm sure, will put off some of your listeners. But basically, there's another way that we can visualize the Mandelbrot set. Instead of looking at the pathways in the equation that remain bound, we're actually in, sometimes we can visualize the Mandelbrot set by focusing on the pathways in the equation that are unbound. And all we mean by that is when we plug in numbers to the equation, the numbers form a sequence and eventually they fly off to infinity. Okay. When we plot all of these paths to infinity, so these, if you like, these numerical patterns that fly off to infinity, when we plot all of them, we get something similar to the Mandelbrot set. So it's a fractal pattern, but it's slightly different because it amazingly, almost miraculously, looks like a Buddha. It looks like a Buddha sitting on a lotus. But just to remind your listeners, it's just the Mandelbrot set. It's just a very simple mathematical equation. There's no manipulation. There's nothing going on here that's beyond mathematics. Just numbers. And it's a complete miracle that there, standing in front of you, when you plot these certain pathways to infinity, you see the Buddha. It may remind you as well of Ganesha. Or it may remind you of the chakra system. You see a third eye type shape, a crown. You may see patterns that remind you of the third eye chakra, or the throat chakra, the heart chakra, etc. But this is pure chance alone. And when I first saw the Buddha Brot, alongside lots of other people, I was very interested. What does this mean? And can we try and explain how perhaps there's something deeper going on here? So that's essentially what the Buddha Brot is about. Very simple maths, striking image.
Okay. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, Dr. Harry Shirley. We're talking about Jungian psychology, as well as the Buddharot and the Mandarot and fractals and lots more. So you say that there's a significance of the Buddharot for us, is that means that, quote unquote, the universe is not random, reality is not meaningless, and the mind and the universe are in harmony. How do you make that connection?
Yeah, well, one thing to note about the Buddha Brot, discovered in 1993. We had never seen it before on a computer. As far as we were aware, discovered in 1993. But the striking thing about the Buddha Brot is, in fact, when we start to notice the patterns and see the Buddha Brot shapes and understand them, they emerge throughout history. So in other words, the Buddha Brot appears to emerge and manifest in art, in architecture, but it's deeply spiritual and religious, up to around 3000 BC. Modern mathematical equation, as far as we were concerned, but it seems to be deeply connected to certain types of spiritual and religious art. And that was the that's the big question. How on earth can a mathematical equation discovered in the 90s appear so far in history? And that's really what started off my own research for me. Now, it's not emerging in just random pieces of art. It seems to emerge in art that's somehow related to cosmic order, somehow related to the development of consciousness, related to concepts in alchemy, such as what we call the Axis Mundi. So the Bilderbrook isn't just emerging in random pieces of art. It seems to be deeply connected to the human seeking for cosmic order. And that's why the Bilderbrook may be extremely significant for mankind.
Let's see. That was a lot there. I'm processing. The synchronicity is a concept that's also very important to Jung and also to the work you're doing and how this all kind of ties together. Talk to us about the significance of synchronicity.
Yeah, absolutely. So synchronicity is a term that Jung coined, and it relates to the idea of a meaningful coincidence. And maybe lots of your listeners can kind of empathize with this idea where you're going around your daily tasks and a meaningful coincidence happens. Sometimes it may be, but you're thinking of a certain theme or topic in your head. You're thinking of heartbreak, or you're thinking of gold, and suddenly the man on the TV says what you're thinking. It may be loosely related to your idea of heartbreak or gold. Lots of things happen to us in our lives that seem to be beyond what can be statistically within reason. And I guarantee you, almost everybody has some kind of story of this crazy thing happened to me, that crazy thing happened to me. It can also be related to dreams. So many people report dreaming future events. That would also be a form of synchronicity. Now, of course, the empirical scientific world discards synchronicity because it can't really be measured. It's not part of empirical science. But Jung felt that synchronicity wasn't just, it wasn't just ghost stories around the campfire. Actually, synchronicity is a principle of the universe, of the cosmos. This is real. And he was very interested in how synchronicity could work. If we're saying that this is real, how on earth could the thoughts in your head be connected to a future event or what the man is saying on the TV? It defies our kind of rationalistic view of reality. So this idea of the unus mundus, this kind of metaphysical concept that proposes that maybe psyche and matter underlying our illusions are in fact one and the same. Perhaps that would help explain somehow how synchronicity manifests in our day-to-day lives. So the reason that connects to number is that, again, Jung felt that the unus mundus itself was ordered and brought into form by numbers. Something else interesting to think about is angel numbers. Have you ever noticed sometimes when
Right.
you keep looking at the alarm clock, you see 1 1 1 1 or other similar types of pattern? Synchronicities seem to be intimately tied to numbers themselves. And in the past, we haven't really known why. But my work proposes that the Bilderbrook, is the ordering principle of the mind. And it relates to how the mind is interconnected to matter. And therefore, the Buddha-brat is somehow related to synchronicity, and it may be the kind of the mathematical framework through which synchronicity occurs. So that's going to be a lot of future work for me. So yeah, that's kind of what synchronicity is all about.
You speak a lot about fractals. We touched on those as kind of repeating shapes that repeat themselves on, at every scale. So, what is the relationship between fractals then and quantum physics and going all the way back to how the universe began? Because I know there's an interest from the quantum physics experts in fractals now, and they're trying to kind of weave it together. And then I would think, because quantum physics is about possibilities, if you go all the way back to we have this Big Bang theory, but if you use fractals and numbers and repeating sequences, does that impact the beginning of everything? And forgive me for not articulating that well, but I think you know what I mean.
Well, I'm glad you brought up kind of quantum physics and kind of the empirical scientific world, because we're in a bit of a dilemma, in my opinion. Empirical science, the empirical method is all about measuring what you can observe. So we make deductions based on what we can measure, what we can see, what we can monitor. The problem with the empirical method is that it disregards the unconscious. Okay. So the unconscious mind is related to lots of these things we've been discussing, such as synchronicity, something we know in our experience exists, but can't be proven by the empirical method. My view is that depth psychology, lots of Carl Jung's work, is needs to be united with quantum physicists and lots of other types of empirical science to include the unconscious, because that's going to give us the clues as to how the universe is ordered and structured, how it is fractal-like. But yeah, you're right in highlighting that lots of quantum physicists are now interested in fractals and how that relates to consciousness. For example, Roger Penrose is interested in lots of this. But for me, it's never going to, you're never going to find what consciousness is if you disregard the unconscious, the study of synchronicity, how that relates to number and form and symbol, etc. So yeah, for me, that's the next challenge for mankind, is unifying psychology and kind of the empirical method. And that's no easy task, but I think that the Buddha-brat is perhaps a hint as to how we could unite these different fields. We have something that is purely mathematical, but actually seems to be archetypal. It seems to be a part of the human mind. It seems to be deeply meaningful and spiritual, related to consciousness. So perhaps the Buddha-brat is yeah, that missing key, and somehow we can use it to understand consciousness and even the cosmos around us.
Dr. Harry Shirley, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio. We're talking about fractals and consciousness and a lot more. Speaking of fractals, is there fractals and angels? You mentioned the angel numbers. I know this is a little bit of a reach, but is there a connection in how angels communicate using fractals or light codes or light language or whatever? Is there a fractalization of that from what you're understanding?
How angels would communicate with us.
With and do they use fractals and with light codes and light language? And you mentioned angel numbers, which people are familiar with, where you see, oh, I saw 2222 today or 111,
Yeah.
and it usually has some type of underlying spiritual meaning to it.
Yeah, it's a really good question. In a short answer, I would say yes. Numbers is how angels communicate with us. But I wouldn't believe in a literal angel, What I would say is a vision of an angel, or the symbolic idea of an angel, is an angel would be an aspect of your own unconscious mind. It may be a guiding archetype, a part of you that is beyond your ego, that is there to quite literally guide you in your journey through life. And it may be that the unconscious mind communicates to us. Well, we already know that the unconscious mind communicates to us in various ways through emotions. Sometimes we don't have control over our emotions, they just rise up from the unconscious. But also dreams. Dreams seem to be important messages from what we call the self, the higher self, helping guide us through our journey. Dreams are similar to synchronicity because they have no causative effect. We don't study them in science, but we know in psychology that they are vital messages from the unconscious. So yes, angels, in a kind of symbolic way, perhaps the unconscious can communicate to us in a synchronistic way through numbers. And that's certainly what people have reported. It's well known that people say if you do experience angel numbers, then it's likely that you're on the correct path. But yes, numbers can be deeply symbolic, just in the same way that the unconscious uses dream symbols to convey a message. The unconscious perhaps can use numbers in our day-to-day life to convey a message. So, for example, in my life recently, over probably around six months now, I keep experiencing the number 69. It's driving me crazy. I keep seeing the number 69 everywhere. I had a new phone number which is automatically generated, and it had 69
69.
in it. It also had 96 in it. I generated a new Twitter handle, and that also had 96 in it. Every time I'm scrolling through Twitter, I'm convinced that so many of my posts and other people's posts have 69 views. Countless things have happened now in my life related to the number 69, and I'm sure lots of your audience will be thinking to themselves, yeah, there's a certain number that may be screaming out to you in your life. So from a Jungian point of view, we could be encouraged to explore what that number may represent symbolically and what message it could be from the unconscious. I think 69 is quite interesting because it's like yin and yang, right? It's
Exactly.
like a it's almost similar to a mandala, like yin and yang. So I'm thinking it's some kind of it could be a symbol, related to kind of a union of opposites or the interplay of opposites.
If we, could we take that to the next level and talk about people? If the repeating patterns are in the numbers and in art and so many other things, could it be that there are specific amount of archetypes for people that you become one of like 20 different types or one of 30 different types of people? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so we're all fragmented, really. The ego creates the illusion that you are just you. But what depth psychology teaches us is that the psyche is composed of a countless number of different components. There's the inner child. As simple examples, the inner child. But there's also in Jungian psychology the idea of the inner contrasexual. So a man may have an inner feminine, what Jung calls the anima. So we have lots of these different archetypes that are there under the surface in the unconscious, dictating our decisions, our moods, our behaviors, our neuroses. So we may have we may have anxiety and depression related to the interplay of different archetypes. So yes, we are all fragmented, absolutely. And that can lead to lots of suffering, lots of mental illness from the depth psychology point of view. And one of the goals in Jungian psychology really is to work with that fragmentation And that's really what the self is all about. So the self is really the archetype of archetypes. It's everything in your psyche. It's your inner child, it's your inner feminine, all of it. And our task is really, from a Jungian point of view, integrating all of these fragmented parts of ourselves towards unity again. So we're really going through life trying to, in a spiritual or religious sense, you would say, really, you're going through life trying to find God or trying to find Jesus in a symbolic sense. That seems to be what the theme to humanity is, this striving for unity.
Yeah, I was just about to kind of get to that. The merging, which seems to be happening more and more now, there's an openness to the science and the spirituality coming together. Because if you look at the notion of we're all one, so we're all connected, and one is a number. And then if we start looking at things and seeing, then everything is God, everything, everything—the good, the bad, the dirt, the sky, the people. Your shirt, everything is part of God. And it seems like that's a very fertile area to for research as it even pertains to consciousness and Buddha-rot and fractals and all of this.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because actually what you're saying there is actually so central to lots of Carl Jung's thoughts. He felt that in lots of ways modern Christianity got it wrong. This concept that God is good and only good, and that Jesus was maybe seen as this flawless, perfect, divine individual. There's no room in Christianity for what Jung calls the shadow, the dark side, the devouring side. In modern Christianity, is often ignored. It's given to maybe the devil, or even given to the feminine. It's an interesting discussion how modern Christianity deals with the shadow, with evil. In Jung's view, it was Christianity was too split. If you look to other spiritual traditions such as Hinduism, there's more room
Right.
for the shadow. They would have gods that were devouring, awful, and evil. And instead of rejecting these gods, instead of, if you like, repressing them, you work with them. You invite them in. You do invite the devil into your home, and maybe you try and understand what is this thing we've labeled as evil? What actually does it want? How can I work with it? And how can we move towards harmony? So within Jungian psychology, we never really want to reject anything, whether it's good or bad, because often the bad is created through maybe social pressures or parental demands or whatever. And what we label as bad is sometimes misunderstood or only bad because of lack of understanding and things like that. Modern Christianity, from Jung's view, didn't quite get it right. There was no room for the evil, if you will.
Okay, Dr. Harry Shirley, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio. I'm loving this conversation. I'm learning a lot. I hope my audience, everybody out there, is learning a lot also. Because what we do on the show is we bring in new thinking, new ideas. And all I ask for everybody is that my guests bring something to the show for the listeners and viewers, and that my audience and myself, we're open to new ideas. And then we decide what we want to do with it. So, what can my audience, and what can I, and what can you, what can we do with this knowledge that we have about the Buddha-rot and fractals and everything else we've been discussing today, Dr. Shirley?
So my recommendation would be, don't try and rationalize all of the things that I've been saying. Don't try and sit down and work them out logically. I've presented you today with this new idea, the Buddha brot. This is, in my opinion, a new symbol for mankind. It's a symbol for the self. So it's similar, if you like, to other concepts we've seen in history, such as Ganesha, such as Buddha, such as perhaps Jesus himself. The Buddha broth is a new symbol for you to help understand who you are, to help bring order into a world of chaos. So if you haven't yet seen the Buddha broth, I recommend going on to thebuddhabroth.com. Check out what the Buddha broth looks like. Meditate on it.
That's what was my
Then,
next question. Should we be
yeah,
meditating on these
meditate on it.
symbols?
I think the Buddha broth is the ordering principle of the entire psyche. So when you're looking at the Buddha broth, you're looking at a part of yourself. So go with that. See what happens. See where your dreams take you after you've seen the Buddha broth. And perhaps begin your journey of uncovering kind of the hidden order behind who you are. Yeah, that would be my recommendation. But if you go onto my website, thebuddhabroth.com, there's tons of other articles and interviews to learn more. And there's my Patreon as well. And you should feel free to reach out to me with any questions.
But it seems like, Dr. Shirley, that this is all about rediscovering, finding out who we are, not something new and different, but going back to peel away the things that aren't w really working, the noise and all of that, and getting down and back to who we really are. And that's what it seems like it's paramount in terms of importance that we look at things that way and we get back. It's not something new. It's like it's something old because it's us, but we have been covered up by so much that we have a hard time knowing who we are.
Absolutely, you've nailed it on the head. The Buddha broth is all about rediscovering who you always were. And I hope some of your listeners can use that to help them on their journeys of self-discovery.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Last question. Where do you, how do you do, I'm just curious, how do you do your work and where do you go with this? Like, where do you take this and how do you find people who are in sync with you and can help you develop the research that you need to take this to the next level?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. I'm still at the early stages of kind of like sharing my findings, hence why I'm here today. But I have a full-time job outside of my work on the Buddha broth. So I'm actually looking for support. I'm looking for funding, looking for people that want to be involved in my journey. I aim to be involved in the Buddha broth for the rest of my life. And I wonder whether I could potentially use it to help people on their paths of self-discovery, whether that is kind of immersion in creating Buddha broth images, using the Buddha broth to understand your own psycho-spiritual journey, or just interviewing artists and other people who perhaps have experienced the Buddha broth themselves as an inner image. So there's lots of different angles that this work could take. But yeah, if anybody out there wants to support my work, please do reach out.
You've got 3.6 million subscribers on YouTube. What are they? Are they helping you? And are you getting feedback from them that's helping you in your work?
So
And what are they looking for?
those 3.6 million unfortunately are not all of mine. So I've worked in the past with a platform called After School, and we collaborated.
Okay.
And though, yeah,
Still,
so
it's a
those three
lot.
point
It's a lot. You
Oh
have a lot
yeah.
of people interested
And
in this.
lots of people are definitely interested, but I'm still at the stages of building kind of an independent platform. So I don't actually have a huge number of followers yet. So
Well,
any support
where would you
is
like
most
to take
welcome.
this, Dr. Shirley? Where would you
Well,
like,
look,
where would you like to be like 5 years from now with this work?
5 years from now, I'd like to be using the Buddha broth to understand consciousness, perhaps traveling the world, talking to people about the Buddha broth, and have my own research funded to understand exactly how the Buddha broth generates consciousness. So there's lots of questions still in my work. We know the Buddha broth's important. We know it's a symbol for the self. We don't yet know how it generates consciousness. And that's a massive question.
You think, I promise, final question. ETs have a role in this and could be helpful?
No, I think the idea of
Okay.
extraterrestrial is just, I think that UFOs potentially are a projection of inner archetypes. I think they are an aspect of the unconscious. And any kind of idea of extraterrestrials is this idea, an extraterrestrial is this idea that there's something beyond you. So really, an extraterrestrial is a symbol for the unconscious. So it's not some ETs aren't necessarily off on some random galaxy. They're actually a part of you, part of your
Okay.
unconscious mind.
Got it.
So
Okay.
UFOs, if you like, ETs are related, but in a symbolic sense.
Got it. Well stated. Well stated. So thank you so much, Dr. Shirley, for being on the show. Learned so much. I'm going to keep following you. I'm going to spread the word. Thank you, Dr. Shirley.
Thank you so much.
The
station that makes you feel good.
The
station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating and educational conversation with Dr. Harry Shirley. I don't know if you quite got all of that or if you're vibing with fractals, but it is what it is, and I want to bring new information onto the show because apparently the whole universe is kind of based on math and something called sacred geometry. So the Buddha-Rot fractal is this shape. It looks like a little Buddha, and it shows up in so many different things throughout history, going back thousands of years. And they're trying to figure out, led by Dr. Shirley, what's the significance of this, and how does it relate to sacred geometry, and what is sacred geometry, and how does it relate to the order of the universe and how we live. So first, I think we have to understand sacred geometry. So sacred geometry, what is it? Well, really, it is the study of all movement and materials and living beings in nature. And geometry is attributed to the ancient Egyptians, who developed a rudimentary set of measurements to help them in architectural pursuits. So that's the start. How did we get with sacred geometry, and what are some of the shapes they worked with? Well, the triangle is the oldest and most studied shape in terms of symbolism. The Platonic solids, which is like the tetrahedron, which represents fire, the hexahedron, earth, and then there's air, water, and the heavens there. And overall, though, so how does sacred geometry work then? So sacred geometry touches every part of the world, every aspect of our daily lives. It's like how everything is connected. Then we can tap into it through spiritual practices centered around activating and balancing what's called the Merkaba, which is a sacred shape made of two tetrahedrons that spin in opposite directions, creating a field of energy. So the Buddha-Rot fractal relates to all of that stuff in terms of it's a symbol that has some meaning they're trying to figure out that helps explain how everything is connected and the order in the universe. That's about the best I can do, but learn more about it, do some research on sacred geometry, the Buddha-Rot fractal, and Dr. Harry Shirley. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, guys, finish first.